Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. I so appreciate you listening to this broadcast. Many of you listen every day, and I really do appreciate that. You may be driving down Interstate 64. You may be going up 664. I'm not sure where you are. You may be listening online, but I want to just let you know that I really do appreciate you listening and tuning in. And so today, I want to do something a little different on the broadcast. I want to spend just a few minutes on the subject of prayer. And more specifically, I want to talk to you about the subject of how we should pray. And many years ago, I had a man by the name of J.O. Grooms, who has passed on and he's now in heaven. He taught me evangelism, and he also taught me the power of prayer. I remember in an evangelism class at the school that I attended, he got on the phone and had 500 students listening into his phone conversation, and he would just randomly call people and then start to share the gospel with them. I believe that one of the reasons that he was so powerful in sharing the gospel and so effective in sharing the gospel is because he was a man of prayer. Now, when the disciples were here on the earth, they asked Jesus one thing. They didn't ask Jesus if he could teach them how to preach or teach or how to be great administrators or even how to grow a church. They asked him, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And that's where the model prayer comes in. I'm not going to look at the model prayer today, but I would like to look at some things on how we can pray. And this is not original with me, and I've got to tell you where this is coming from. This is coming from the Soul Winner's Prayer Life, which is a scripture memory book on prayer, written by J.O. Grooms, the man who went on to be with the Lord. His son, Mark, has taken over the ministry, and it's called Treasure Path to Soul Winning. It's one of the ministries that we support, and if you're listening to me, maybe you're familiar with this ministry. I encourage you, if you want to learn how to be a soul winner, if you want to learn how to pray, you can order these two little booklets. One's called The Soul Winner's Prayer Life. The other one is called Treasure Path to Soul Winning. And if you're interested in getting that information, I can certainly get that to you. Just shoot me an email at hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org, and I'll be happy to give you that information. Well, let's talk about this subject of how to pray. We learned, first of all, if we're going to have prayer that is successful, we must pray with a believing heart. Here's the first point. Pray with a believing heart. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 21:20. And in all things, whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So when we ask God for something, we pray believing that it's going to come to pass. I have to ask this question, what is the sense of praying if we don't believe that God's going to answer our prayers? So we pray believing that God's going to answer our prayers. He's going to hear our prayers. That's what faith is. It's trusting God to answer the prayer requests that we bring before Him. Here's the second point as we pray. Not only must we have a heart that is believing, but we must have the assurance. And you think about assurance. Assurance is that confidence. The Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think a lot of people believe that, but I think a lot of people are lacking the assurance of their salvation. We learn from 1 John 5:13 that the word of God was written to us to give us assurance. John says, "These things have I written unto you that you may believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Have that confidence. God's word is written to us so that we can have that confidence and we can have a heart that's assured. It's put this way in 1 John 3:19-22. We know that we are of the truth and we assure our hearts before Him. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart doesn't condemn us, then we have no confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we shall receive of Him because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So when we pray with a believing heart, we pray with a heart of assurance, and it's based upon the Word of God. It's based upon the fact that we are living according to God's commandments. Here's the third point that we must understand if we're going to have prayers answered. We must pray with all of our heart, not a divided heart, with all of our hearts. Jeremiah 29:11, we know that verse. I know the plans that I have for you, say the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me. This is verse number 12. And I shall go, and you shall pray unto me, and I will listen to you. And you shall seek me, and you shall find me when you search for me. There it is, with all your heart. When you pray, you're searching God, you're searching for his answers, and you do it with all your heart. I had a seminary professor who used to always remind us, all means all the time, and that's all means. When we pray with all of our heart, all of our assurance, all of our belief that Christ is going to answer our prayer. Well, the fourth point is, when we pray, we must pray with that heart that is prepared. In Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10, it says that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. When you go to church this Sunday, prepare your heart for the message that you're going to hear on Sunday morning. Prepare your heart to be a blessing to others. Ezra did this. He prepared himself by seeking the law of the Lord, and then he did it. And then he was able to teach the Israelites the statutes and the judgments. We could take just the opposite of that, and we see that there was another king in the Old Testament who did evil, and he did not prepare his heart for God to answer his prayer. He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So when we pray, we have to have our hearts prepared, have that heart ready for God to answer that prayer. One of the ways that I do this is by doing a simple acrostics with the word ACTS, A-C-T-S, ACTS. We begin by acknowledging our sin when we start our prayer. We acknowledge the fact that we are sinners and that we need forgiveness, which leads to letter C. We confess that sin. And as we confess that sin, our heart is made pure, our heart is made clean. Letter T, we have thanksgiving. We give thanks to the Lord ahead of time for the things he's going to answer in our prayer life, and then we give thanks to him for the things he's already done. And then letter S is supplication. That's when we come before the Lord with a heart filled with requests. And by the time you get through confessing your sins and adoring Christ for who he is, by the time you get giving him all those thanks, your list of supplication gets a lot shorter. So the fifth point, if we're going to pray successfully, we must pray with not only a prepared heart, but a whole heart. David put it this way in Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all of your marvelous works. He said this in Psalm 119, verse number 10. With my whole heart, I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And then he said this in Psalm 119, 58. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to thy word. So when we pray, not only do we have that confidence with an assured heart, but we're going to pray with all of our heart. Number six, we pray with a forgiving heart. And I think this is a stopping point for many of us when we pray. And here we're going to go back to the model prayer for just a moment. Matthew chapter 6, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we do not forgive men who trespass against us, our heavenly Father will not forgive us. But if we do forgive men their trespasses, our heavenly Father will forgive us. In other words, if we don't forgive, God doesn't forgive. Our line of communication is broken when we are praying with a heart that is an unforgiving heart. As we confess those sins, it opens up the lines of communication so that we can pray more effectively and more powerfully because we're praying from a clear motivation and a clean heart. Number seven, we are to pray with an understanding heart. In other words, as we pray, part of our prayer life is not getting God to agree with what we want him to do, but part of our prayer life is having our heart changed and getting on board and understanding what God has for us. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and he begins by asking a question. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else thou shalt bless with the Spirit. How shall that happen if there's no room in my heart? I will give thanks. I will understand what you are saying. He says, then in the church that I would rather speak five words with understanding, that by my voice I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Paul is driving home the point here from 1 Corinthians 14, and I know I skipped a couple of verses in there, but as you look at that, Paul is praying, Lord, as I pray, I want my prayers to be understood, and I want my prayers to make sense. I want to have an understanding heart. I don't want to just get up and pray gibberish thoughts. You know, the Father is up in heaven, and His Son is sitting on His right hand, and He's interceding on our behalf. Sometimes our prayers may sound like foolish prayers, but Christ will take even those foolish prayers and turn them into cohesive and comprehensive prayers. As we pray, our lives may be filled with confusion. We may be lacking direction, but we say, Lord, would you give me an understanding heart so that as I take these steps to follow you in obedience, that you are guiding my life. The eighth principle for how to have a successful prayer life is the principle of a humble heart. If we look at a New Testament passage from James, James is perhaps one of my favorite books in the Bible. James is the wisdom literature of the New Testament. Proverbs is the wisdom literature, and Ecclesiastes is the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. James tells us, when we're afflicted, we mourn and we weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. And then verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. So when we are afflicted, that is a great time for us to humble ourselves. That is a great time for us to get into a position of ready for our prayers to be answered. There's something about humility that is a difficult lesson to learn. But if we will pray with humility, God will answer our prayers, and He will get the glory for the answering of our prayers. Here's the ninth principle, and this is a principle that I know that you're probably very familiar with. It's called praying without ceasing. Romans 1:9 says that my God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Always praying, always having a spirit of prayer. I pray as I drive down the highway, and as I see all the traffic coming together, I said, Lord, protect me as I'm on this road. I pray as I'm in the prison. Lord, keep me safe as I'm in the prison. I pray as I'm giving messages. I said, Lord, allow me to give messages that are encouraging. I'm praying right now as I do this broadcast. I'm praying, Lord, would you give me the right words to say so that I can encourage somebody who's listening right now? Somebody may be going through a really hard time right now. I'm not aware of it, but Lord, I want to pray for that person. It's an amazing tool to pray without ceasing. That is having a spirit of prayer without ceasing. You can do it as you're driving down the road. Now, don't close your eyes as you're driving down the road, but pray as you're driving down the road. You can pray with your eyes open. You don't have to be bowed down and on your hands and knees to pray. Sometimes that's a good posture to be in to pray, but God is not so much interested in the posture of our prayer than He is in the fact that we are praying without ceasing. Paul says of the Ephesians, he says, they never cease to give thanks for me, and they never ceased to mention me in their prayers. Isn't that an amazing thing? Constantly praying, praying without ceasing. The 10th principle that we learn if we're going to have successful prayer is that we must pray without doubting. Pray without doubting. Mark chapter 11, Jesus answered them, and he says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, it will be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, it shall come to pass. He shall believe those things which he had said shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. He continues on in verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you shall have them. So here we see that we are to pray without doubting. The reason I love the book of James, because James talks a lot about doubting and the dangers of doubt. Whenever we fall into sin, we always fall into sin because we have a seed of doubt placed within our hearts. So when we pray, we say, Lord, I don't want to have any doubt. I want to be completely focused on your will and your agenda. I want to see you bring something to pass. Number 11, if we're going to have successful praying, we must pray without wavering. You're going to be wavering when you start to doubt. And here's what James had to say about wavering. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, the problem is not lacking wisdom. I think so many times in our lives, we lack wisdom. He says, if you lack wisdom, the problem is not lacking wisdom. The problem is that we don't ask God when we're lacking wisdom. We will go and find wisdom in the wrong places. So James says, when you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he gives to all men liberally, and he gives it to them, and he doesn't, some translation says, he does it without condemning us. The old King James says, and he does it upbraideth not, but that means that he's going to give it to us without condemning us. In other words, God's not going to say, oh, you're asking for wisdom? You're an idiot for asking for wisdom. This is why you're not getting wisdom. He doesn't condemn us. Now, we might condemn people, but God says, no, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to give it to you. And if you're going to get this, you've got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like that wave of the sin driven in the wind, tossed and fro. That man shall not receive anything from the Lord. Why? He's double-minded. He's dual-minded. He wants the wisdom of the world on one hand, and he wants the wisdom of God on the other hand. And those two do not mix. Well, here's a 12th principle. As we look at praying successfully, we are to pray with persistence. And the Old Testament example of that is Jacob. Jacob wrestled with an angel. He wrestled with that man until the beginning of the day. And Genesis chapter 32. And finally, he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he says, I'm not going to let you go except you bless me. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Jacob had a name change. His name originally meant supplanter. Now his name means Israel, means peace. And the Bible tells us that for as the prince has the power with God, with men, you have prevailed. Jacob received a blessing from the Lord because he was persistent in praying. And he persistently prayed, God, bless me. I think too many times we lack that tenacity that we need for God to truly bless us. We are called to be persistent in praying. Praying without ceasing, praying with a heart that is filled with assurance, praying with that determination and that belief that we know God is going to answer that prayer. Can you imagine what God could do in our lives if we persistently prayed and believed that God was going to answer everything we prayed? Too many of us give up too easily. Oh, don't give up, my friend. Keep on praying. As you look at pushing, right? Pray until something happens. Push. Keep on praying. God will bring about that answer. Well, number 13, as we look at praying, we must pray with the desire for our prayers to be answered. David put it this way in Psalm 27, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Crying out to the Lord in boldness, believing that we have that desire for our answers, our prayers to be answered. Desire is such a powerful thing. Psalm 102 says, hide not your face from me in the day when I'm in trouble. Incline your ear unto me in the day when I call you, and you will answer me speedily. Psalm 143:1 says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications, and in thy faithfulness answer me in thy righteousness. Well, there's 14 coming up, and I know there's a lot of them today. Hang in there. We've only got a couple more to go. 14 says that we pray with boldness. We enter into the throne of the great high priest, and we enter in there boldness, not arrogantly. We come in boldly. Hebrews chapter 4:16 says, come boldly into the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. How would you pray boldly if you knew God would answer every prayer? You know, God does answer every prayer. It's just a matter of timing. Sometimes he answers yes, sometimes he answers no, sometimes he answers not yet. But pray believing, pray with boldness, and God will bring that to pass. Number 15, pray with confidence. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything in his name, according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. John is reminding us a vital principle here, straight from God's word, that when we have that confidence that God is going to answer our prayers based upon his word, we can ask whatever we want and he will do it. That's the key of being in the center of God's will. If you're in the center of God's will, you can ask God for anything and he's going to give it to you. If you're not in the center of God's will, and as you're praying for things, the Spirit is going to convict you of where you need to realign your life so that you can be in his will. Number 16, last but not least, we must pray in the Spirit. You know, our bodies are very weak. We are unable to fight back a whole lot of things that comes against us. But the Bible tells us in Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we don't even know what we should pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We are told in Ephesians 6:18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then that little book of Jude says, but you, beloved, build yourself up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Oh, I hope these principles have helped you today. I know that you probably can't remember all 16 of them, but maybe one of them resonated with you. And you're going to look at that one point. Maybe it's praying with boldness. Maybe it's praying with assurance. Maybe it's praying in the Spirit, praying with confidence. So Lord, as our broadcast ends today, Lord, we want to be men and women who are prayer warriors. Spiritual battles are fought through prayers. And you look at the armor of God, and as we put the armor on, we're told above all, pray. Pray fervently. So Lord, answer our prayers today. Be with us in a special way as we continue on the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase, doesn't matter. Hope for your heart, no spaces, at hrcc7.org. And the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. Now, if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home. We would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge Student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade. If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us, either through phone or email, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.